Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5, every weekday morning. We're on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Hi. And, all right. So, we were just talking with Tom Appel about cool trucks that were in lame movies. And that got me to thinking about really your favorite movie and TV cars and vehicles of all time. 312-981-7200. Your favorite vehicles of all time in cars and TV shows. We did get an explanation here. 815 area code says, just for your information, Dean Jeffries was the designer of the Monkey Mobile, not Barris. Dean Jeffries also designed the Black Beauty from the Green Hornet. Oh, that's a cool car, too. The Moon Buggy from Diamonds Are Forever. And the trolley in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Oh, L.A.'s got the greatest public transit system in the world.
The trolley, though?
The trolley? He
All
designed
right.
the trolley.
Oh, he did. Okay, I see.
He designed the trolley, yeah, for the movie. Yeah, because the taxi wasn't real.
Could have still designed it.
The taxi was animated. He was actually contracted to do the Batmobile, but he was too busy and he turned it over to Barris. Thank you for that information, 815E. Appreciate that. Brandon says, how about the truckster from Vacation? Is this on the list, Dan? Do you know? On this list of 50?
I believe it is.
It's got to be, because that is the most hilarious car ever.
I think it's in the right around 48, 47.
Okay. It's number 49, the family truckster from National Lampoon's Vacation. That car is awesome. It's the most ridiculous car ever. One of the most ridiculous cars. One of my favorite scenes in that movie, and he's trying to figure out where to pump the gas. You remember? Chevy Chase is trying to, and he takes the, he ends up ripping the license plate off the back of the car, and it goes flying. Oh, man. Esmeralda, you've seen Vacation, haven't you?
No.
You haven't seen? Oh,
my God. Do you know
which
one I have seen?
What?
The one where they're in Vegas.
So you saw Vegas Vacation, but you haven't seen the other ones.
I know. That's probably not even it's not a good one, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
By far the best one is the first one, is Vacation. And then Christmas Vacation. You haven't seen Christmas Vacation? In all the Christmases television?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Okay.
Isn't there like a squirrel in the tree?
Yes, there's a squirrel in the tree. And
I remember seeing that.
And Randy Quaid is emptying his crapper from the from the mobile home that they have. But no, the other ones, it's a European Vacation and Vegas Vacation are terrible. And then I think there was one with just Randy Quaid. Where it was just like Randy Quaid, it was like Cousin Eddie goes to, you know, Niles or something. I don't think he went to Niles. I don't think it was I'm taking a trip to Niles. I'm going to take the family to Niles. Because that's such a vacation destination. What do you want to do this year, honey? I think we should go to Niles. I haven't been to the Golf Mill. You know, we got to go to the Golf Mill Mall. Or is that in Skokie? Is Golf Mill Mall in Skokie or Niles?
They kind of all intertwined.
That's very close.
Niles,
they're very close.
Skokie,
yeah.
Lincolnwood.
Yeah, they're all in that area. All hot spots for your vacation.
Hey, Lincolnwood has the only Red Lobster, pretty much.
No,
close to the city.
No, no, no. There's,
I mean, there's more, but that one's fairly close. You can get there on a bus.
Well, you can get to the one on Lawrence and Cumberland.
Oh, that's far.
Well, it's far, but it's still busable. There's a Lawrence bus, and you can get a Cumberland bus.
But there's a mall.
Isn't there a mall? No, there isn't a mall at that. I was going to say, isn't there a mall by every Red Lobster? Isn't every single Red Lobster at a mall?
That's the rule.
Is somebody just like, oh, you know, I'm going to open up right here in the middle of nowhere. I'm opening up a Red Lobster.
I mean, honestly, I've never seen a Red Lobster without a mall. So
I don't think I have
Except
either,
downtown.
Or close to a mall.
There was one downtown, but one was weird.
Yeah, there was one down. There isn't. It used to be down here. I remember there was one down here.
Yeah, it's a Chase now.
Of course it is. Everything is. Everything that doesn't exist anymore, Chase took. Robin Wheaton says most of the cars in Dazed and Confused, oh, there are some badass cars in that movie. Of course, the best is Wooderson's. But it's funny. The funniest is O'Banion, because O'Banion, O'Banion's got like, O'Banion, by the way, is the character that Ben Affleck plays in Dazed, and he's the major jerk in the movie. He's the big a-hole in the movie, O'Banion. And he drives around in a car that has nothing but it's nothing but primer and Bondo. Like the car doesn't even have. Okay, the car doesn't. It's all primer and Bondo. The entire car, the whole body of the car is primer and Bondo. And at one point in the movie, after they dump paint on him, I've seen Days Confused once or twice, by the way. After they dump paint on O'Banion, and he gets pissed and starts screaming at everybody because the freshman poured paint on him, and he's embarrassed in front of everybody in front of the Emporium. He's walking back to his car and he's screaming, he's swearing, and he throws his paddle down and it breaks. He breaks his paddle, and then he gets in his car. He's trying to get into his car. He gets in the car, slams the door, and as he's about to drive off, Pink says, you don't see him say it, but Pink says, "Hey, did you see how Banning got his new paint job?" which was a combination of him getting paint dumped on him and the fact that he had not had a paint job on his head. So I'm assuming that the car looked even worse, like he spiffed it up with a little extra Bondo that day. Hey, did you see how Banning got his new paint job? Oh, that movie's pretty good. So, all right, how about the Beverly Hillbillies? This is number 50, the Oldsmobile truck. Now, you know, that was a great truck because you could put rocking chairs in the back.
Now, remind me, because all I'm thinking of is it looks like the junk trucks you see driving around in the alleys.
It does, because it's got
it
does. It's a cool looking car, but it's jammed with all their stuff because they moved from the hillbilly land
right
to Beverly Hills.
They too have like walls up made of wood.
They had stuff sticking out of the side, and Granny was on top. You know, Granny was on top in her rocker. You know, like knitting. Or something like on the back.
She's got to do something the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, do you guys know the story? I interviewed Max Baer Jr., because Max Baer was a very famous boxer. Max Baer Jr. was his son, and he played Jethro in Beverly Hillbillies. And I interviewed him many years ago. Gary Lee Wright and I interviewed him when we first started our partnership together back like in 98. And so we had Max Baer Jr. on, who had written a book about, you know, his experience working on the Beverly Hillbillies. And he said that, what was the actress who played Granny, I was going to say Irene Cara, but no, she was in
Irene
Fame.
Ryan.
Irene Ryan, yes. Okay, Irene Ryan. Okay, so Irene Ryan was there, I guess, to read with the guys who were going to audition. She already had the part for Granny. I mean, that part was like tailor-made for her. So she already had the part for Granny. And she had a reputation to enjoy liquid refreshments of the adult kind. So Max Baer Jr. goes into audition. He's there to audition. I guess there was a break or something. They had a big lunch break. So Irene Ryan invited him, because I guess she knew his dad, because he was a very famous boxer, Max Baer. So Max Baer Jr. goes out to have lunch with Irene Ryan, which, you know, he thinks is a good idea. You know, why not get to know somebody who's already cast, who's going to be reading with you? This might be a good way to get a jump up on people who are going to audition behind you. So they go out to lunch, and she gets him annihilated. Like, he gets hammered. He has like 12 martinis. He told us the story. It was a total liquid lunch. They didn't eat anything, and all he did was just guzzle martinis, trying to keep pace with Irene Ryan, who clearly drink anybody under the table. So they get back for him to do his audition, and he's bombed. He's bombed when he auditions. And he, like, was bumping into stuff. He was, like, bumping into doorways, and he knocked a couple of things over. He could barely read, and he got the part because of that. He got the part because he was drunk. And I guess they didn't know it. Maybe they did, but the producers were like, this guy's hilarious because he can't speak, he can't walk, and he's bumping into stuff. And that's how he got the part of Jethro.
It's probably all part of her plan.
Because she probably wanted him on the show.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm going to go out and get this guy drunk. So, oh, man. Yeah, the Beverly Hills truck, Beverly Hillbillies truck. Death Proof, Stuntman Mike's cars. Those are badass. Have you seen Death Proof?
I have seen Death Proof.
Oh,
is that the one, not the zombie one?
It's the good one. of the two movies in what the hell was it called? Grindhouse. Of the two movies in Grindhouse, it was the good one.
The one with the DJ. She's a DJ.
Yes, absolutely. It was Tarantino's movie. See, like Tarantino made a real movie, and Robert Rodriguez made like a goof. Planet Terror was like, ugh. But man, you know, Death Proof is great. Death Proof rules. And his cars were badass. And they used the car from Vanishing Point, which has got to be on this list somewhere. The car from Vanishing Point? I'll have to look that up. Because that car was badass. So we're talking about really cool cars. And Dan was kind enough to find the article that I had read earlier this year. Where's it from, Dan? Bloomberg. Right?
Yes.
Where they have, listen to this, Esmeralda. I'd found this earlier in the year, or I should say, you know, like in 2015, in the summer of 2015, I was looking up. There is a history and a story behind every vehicle in Mad Max Fury Road.
Of course. Of course there is. And of course you read it.
Of course I did. And of course Dan printed it up for me because those were the coolest cars. Those are the coolest cars. Do you have a favorite, Dan, do you have a favorite vehicle in Fury Road?
You know, I mean, the big rig is the obvious answer, but it's right. The right answer.
I'm a fan of the Doof Warrior's Doof Wagon because the Doof Warrior rules. For those of you who don't know, the Doof Warrior is the blind crazy man who plays guitar that shoots flames out of its neck and has a bedpan on the end of it. That's the best movie ever. All right, we got a break here. Everybody hang on. We're talking about great, cool vehicles, trucks, cars from TV and from movies. Esmeralda's vote is the Monkey Mobile, but the monkeys have to be in it, correct?
I got another one, too.
Oh, you got another one? Yeah. Okay, well, hang on. We'll talk about it when we get back. Dan, you got some vehicles that you enjoy?
I do. I also enjoyed that tease. Well done, Esmeralda.
I just didn't want to be put in a box.
All right, we're going to break. We'll come back. Crazy, great vehicles and cars from movies and TV. 312-981-7200. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And, you know, we were talking with Tom Appel, our monthly visit with Tom. Consumer Guide Automotive is what he publishes, and he's a terrific guest and always a lot of fun. We were talking about he wrote an article for the CG Daily Drive about the coolest trucks in really lame movies. And he mentioned, you know, this truck from Damnation Alley. And I thought we would continue the conversation, but with your favorite vehicles, trucks, cars from your favorite, like the coolest cars and trucks from TV, movies, and so on and so forth. 312-981-7200. I got to ask, Dan, have you ever seen Damnation Alley? I'm not even going to ask Esmeralda because I'm assuming you've probably never even heard of the movie.
Why, yes, I have. No.
I've seen it 12 times. Dan, have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Okay. I'm not surprised. That's not one of those movies where if I ask you and you say no, I go, what? Because I don't expect anybody to. The fact that Tom Appel actually wrote a piece about Damnation Alley is astonishing to me. So this is a movie that came out in 1977. It had Jan Michael Vincent, who was like, do you know, like, who's like, who would be hunky man today? Would one of the Hemsworth guys? Would it be Gosling?
Yeah.
Okay, he was like the Gosling, except he couldn't act. The difference wasn't there. I mean, Gosling can act. Ryan Gosling is a tremendous actor. But like he's like an amazingly hot guy, Jan Michael Vincent, in the 70s, and he was the deal. He was the hottest dude in the world. So he was in it. Badass George Peppard, who would go on to be in the A-Team, was in it. Jackie Earle Haley, who played Kelly Lynch in The Bad News Bears, and who would eventually go on to star in Breaking Away as well. He was in it. And it was a post-apocalyptic movie where the Earth had been, like, scorched with nuclear radiation and there's giant cockroaches and stuff. And they drive around in this giant, crazy vehicle that Tom described earlier. And it was I remember when I saw the movie, I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then, like, when I was a kid, I saw that I was 12, and I was like, oh, this movie's badass. And then I saw it, like, 5 years later. I was, like, 16 or 18 or something. I was like, what a piece of crap this movie was. Damnation Alley. I bet the trailer is online somewhere. If you guys get a chance, if you're out there, go to the YouTubes And type in Damnation Alley and enjoy the trailer. You could probably watch the whole thing on YouTube. I wouldn't be surprised if the entire movie is available on YouTube. It's just ridiculous.
This looks like my worst nightmare.
What is? What is?
Because it's just a bunch. This movie. Because it's just a bunch of cockroaches.
It's yeah. There's giant cockroaches running around.
There's just so
and
many.
And the sky is always like red with bolts shooting out of it. And
no, thank you.
It's a post-apocalyptic nightmare.
I just have a bit of a fear of
roaches.
Too many roaches.
Yeah.
Like more than two. When it's a big group.
Have you seen Creepshow?
No. I'm not gonna either.
I'm assuming you're aware of the scene in Creep. You're not aware of the scene in Creepshow?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. All right. You should not, if you have that fear, the last movie on Earth that you should ever watch is Creepshow. Okay?
I will stay away.
All right. I'm just warning you. If you have a fear, a phobia of too many cockroaches, that is the last movie in the world that you should ever watch. Because it's five separate stories. You could watch the first four, okay?
It's okay.
But when the last story starts, turn it off.
I'll just stay away from the whole thing.
No, it's actually it's a really terrific movie. George Romero directed it, for God's sake. But that last story, which is actually the best one of the five. Dan, have you seen Creepshow?
I have not.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. All right. Here's Biker Don. He's got some vehicles. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How we doing, Nick?
All right.
I told Dan, I said I had several, but the one that really sticks out was the, I can't remember, is it Peterbilt or Kenworth from the 007 movie, the one with the one with...
The Aston Martin?
No, not the Aston Martin. It's the semi-truck, the tractor from the one where...
Evidently it was really memorable, Don.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on the. It was so cool, a truck that was actually made just for the movie.
Uh huh.
But they got such a response out of it that they actually offered it for sale on the open market.
Oh, okay.
There was a spate of about 3 years there where they were just all over the. They were all over the interstate, but it was the one where.
Was it a...
What's the other guy? It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's not
who?
Robert Goulet.
Wayne Newton? It was The Living Daylights.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The truck from The Living Daylights.
Yeah.
That's the one that really, only because, like I said, it went from being just a movie prop to, I was like, hey, we can sell these things.
Right. All right. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, have a good one, buddy.
Take care. Yeah, that's right. You didn't hear him wrong, Esmeralda. Wayne Newton played a villain in a Bond movie.
Yeah, weren't we talking about
that? Yes, we did.
All right. I was going to say.
We did. I don't know what the topic was. I think it was bad villains or something. Like, how the hell do you... I got an idea. You know who's going to be the best villain ever for James Bond? Wayne Newton.
Because no one suspects him.
Well, Wayne Newton played a villain, as we talked about at that same time. He played a villain in The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, too.
And he kind of seems, creepy.
He
bit.
Does.
Just a little.
He does. First text that comes through, of course, is Vanishing Point. People, that car, it was a Challenger, a 1970 Challenger. That is a badass car. And Tarantino knew it, and that's the car that the chicks are driving in Death Proof. When Zoe Bell is hanging on the front of the car, that's the Challenger. By the way, Rob wants us to know that there's a Red Lobster on Pulaski just south of Curry High School.
Where's that?
It's on the south side.
That's far. I'm sorry. The Lincolnwood is the closest one.
It is the closest one.
To me.
Yes, the closest one to me as well. It's the closest one to me as well. All right. Here is Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Hey, got a couple of cars. The Munsters.
The best.
Grandpa drove around in a coffin car.
Absolutely. Badass car. That might be my favorite. I think the Batmobile from the Batman series is my favorite. But the Munsters, the Munsters car is way up there, yeah.
The original Batmobile?
The original Batmobile from the Adam West Munsters. Or from the Adam West Batman. That's my favorite Batmobile.
And then a truck Remember the movie Take This Job and Shove It?
Yes, I do.
He drove around in Bigfoot.
I don't remember that. I remember the movie. I remember it was Robert Hayes was in it. Tim Thomerson was in it. Tim Thomerson. I'm trying to remember who the female lead was.
Yeah, you know, it's been so long.
It was somebody hot.
And
if I remember correctly, there was a hot lady in Take This Job and Shove It.
And then they drove Bigfoot in the movie with Patrick Swayze
as a Roadhouse. Roadhouse. I mean, Roadhouse has everything any man would want in a movie, so they had to include a monster truck. Because Roadhouse, it was like when they made Roadhouse, I think they made a checklist of stuff. All right, drunk guys like what? Let's make a movie with all of that. And then somebody raised their hand in the boardroom, went, got to put a monster truck in it. And they went, oh, yeah, got to put a monster truck in it. Okay, we got to take a break. And by the way, the woman that I was thinking of was Barbara Hershey, who's in Take This. I can't believe I remember the stars of Take This Job and Shove It. Which is, but Esmeralda, do you know the movie?
No, but I was telling Dan, how come movies today don't sound as cool as that?
Because it was the 70s.
And Tim Thomerson.
That was an 80s movie.
That's
the
best name ever.
Tim Thomerson?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a t-shirt from a movie that Tim Thomerson is in. I'm wearing a Near Dark t-shirt this morning.
I love his name. I'm Tim Thomerson.
He used to be a stand-up comedian, and then he went into movies.
I love his work with Janet Jackson.
Now, you're going to make it even more confusing now. Now you're just going to add to the confusion. It's Terry Thomas, not Tim Thomerson. By the way, the movie Take This Job and Shove It is inspired by the song Take This Job and Shove It.
Of course it is.
Which was now, do you know who the artist was, Esmeralda? Are you ready for this? You ready for the artist of Take This Job and Shove It? You ready? Johnny Paycheck. Not kidding. All right, news is next.
Out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Take this job and shove it.
Yeah. Yeah. Take This Job and Shove It by Johnny Paycheck.
I wonder how many times he's said that.
I guess a lot.
To not get a paycheck anymore.
Yeah, I mean, when your last name is Johnny Paycheck.
Yeah, I feel like your song should be a little more uplifting about jobs.
You would think so. It sounds like he enjoys a paycheck. So, and by the way, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here with my great producer Dan Shagru and the great Esmeralda Leon. And we're talking about great movie cars and TV cars and vehicles. So what are the coolest vehicles and all that stuff that you've seen in TV and in movies and stuff? And we were talking about somebody actually brought up the truck and Take This Job and Shove It, which is a very – by the way, I got to tell you this, Esmeralda. I hung out with Tim Thomerson.
What?
I did. Are you envious?
Just as long as every time you said – you talk to you, you'd be like, hey, Tim Thomerson. Listen here, Tim Thomerson.
Tim Thomerson became a running joke with my friends and I for that specific reason. Esmeralda, I'm so glad you've latched on to that. Because when he was like a stand-up comedian, he was a stand-up comedian in like the 70s and 80s. Early 80s. So he was more of a – he did stand-up in the 70s more than – so. And then in the early 80s, he did a little stand-up. But then he became a movie actor, and my friends and I were sort of obsessed with his name, and we used to call each other Tim Thomerson. How's it going there, Tim Thomerson?
It's a sweet name.
It's a fantastic name. But I got to hang out with Tim Thomerson. He was at the Flashback Horror Convention a few years ago. Lance Henriksen was there, and they did like a Near Dark reunion. Oh, man, I feel terrible. Why am I blanking on the woman's name who played Diamondback? She played Vasquez in Aliens. Wow, I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. I love her very much. She's in T2.
Jeanette Goldstein.
That's it, Jeanette Goldstein. Oh, God, I love her. She's a badass. Do you see her? Esmeralda, have you seen Aliens?
Yes.
She's Vasquez, an alien. She's a badass in that movie. And she was Diamondback in Near Dark. So she was there, Lance Henriksen was there, and Tim Thomerson. And Lance Henriksen and I, you know, buddy-buddied a lot. He's been to Flashback like four times, and we ended up going out and having some dinner and stuff. I went and I had steaks with Tim Thomerson and Lance Henriksen. Lance Henriksen.
Oh, look at you.
Tim Thomerson. I know you're very jealous right now.
Very much so. I'm trying to hide it.
I know. I can understand that. Yeah, that's
right. Good thing I'm alone in this newsroom.
That's right. You can touch me. I've touched Tim Thomerson. star of Take This Job and Shove It. His biggest roles, though, he's in a series of movies, Esmeralda, called Trancers. He plays Jack Death in the Trancer series, and his last name is spelled D-E-T-H. Jack Death. And there's like seven Trancers movies.
Good to hear that Tim Thomerson.
He works, man.
Was working.
He was working. Tim Thomerson, man. All right, we're talking about great vehicles in movies. How about the Partridge Family school bus comes in at number 46. That thing is ridiculous. The Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine. Well, that's not real. Right?
It was in that one movie. Oh, in the movie. Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, that's right. They did end up making movies out of that. That's right. Inspector Gadget, the Gadget Mobile. So I'm assuming that, are they talking about the movie with Matthew Broderick, since they made a movie out of that?
Well, that wouldn't be the Gadget Mobile, right?
Yeah. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I loved that movie when I was a kid. The car could fly, man. Little Miss Sunshine, the VW minibus. Really? The car that you had to, like, push down the highway before it would start and then jump in as it rolled?
See, now I'm going to... My other favorite movie vehicle is Herbie the Love Bug.
Well, sure. Herbie's got to be on this. Number 35.
Oh, there we go. I have a soft spot for VWs.
Yeah, I think everybody does. I think a lot of people really like the VW.
Yeah.
You know?
And actually, in high school, I was in a AP biology class, and we had to write about
bugs?
No, not bugs. We had to write about chlorophyll and all that stuff in plants.
Yeah.
And we did a comic book, and my comic book was that Herbie the Love Bug got shrunk down and went into the plant, and he was seeing all the things happening.
You know, if people at Disney are listening right now, that's copyright Esmeralda Leon. You have to buy it from her if you think that's a good vehicle for Lindsay Lohan's comeback. Okay. Let's see. We got the Munsters on here. Death Race 2000, Frankenstein's car. That's a lot of badass cars in that movie, too. The Big Lebowski, the dude's Gran Torino. You got... I don't know how they did it. There's a moment in the Big Lebowski, after he goes for the doctor's exam, and he's driving down the street and he's lighting a joint and listening to Creedence, which is what the dude does as he abides. He tends to blow weed and listen to Creedence, but he's driving in the car, and the lit roach drops into his crotch, and he's trying to get it to pat it out, and he smashes into a dumpster. His car smashes into a dumpster. I have no idea how they did it, if they did it in one take or if it just happened, but it's the funniest car smacking into something ever. Like, it was like the car was acting. I don't know. I really don't know how they captured it. Go back and watch Big Lebowski. The scene, it's right after he gets out of the doctor's appointment, after he's got the proctology exam, and he's by the way, after he leaves the doctor, and it was a proctologist exam, the song that's playing by Creedence in the car is Looking Out My Back Door, and that's, of course, a very subtle reference to the examination that he just had. So that's the song that's playing. It's Looking Out My Back Door. He lights the joint. It falls into his lap, and he smashes into a dumpster. And then the car does this little hop, this Torino that he's driving. It does this little hop. And if they captured that, I swear to God, if they captured that on the first take, it's the luckiest. They must have had a party after that calling cut. After Joel Cohen called cut, they probably said, okay, that's it. We can't do better. That's it. That's a wrap today. Let's just start again tomorrow. Do you guys, am I the only one that finds that the way that that car crashes into that dumpster hilarious? Am I the only one? And I'm not high. When I see that movie, I'm not high. Esmeralda, do you remember the car smashing into the dumpster?
Not really.
Dan, you don't either, do you?
There are other memorable scenes from that movie.
Oh, I know. I mean, you can compile a list 27 pages long of memorable, great, hilarious moments in The Big Lebowski, but that is one of my favorite. It's actually one of my favorite moments in the movie is the way the car crashes. I don't know why. Am I not? Is anybody else text this in? Does anyone else agree with me that when the dude crashes into the dumpster, the car crashes funny? I don't know how they did it, how they got an inanimate object to give a funny performance, but it happened. And again, I don't get high, so I'm not high. I don't drink anymore. So when I watch The Big Lebowski, I watch it sober. And when he hits the dumpster, adding to the prostate exam joke with the Creedence song as a joke and then smacking into the dumpster, it's like this three-level building of comedy that happens in this one moment. Your first laugh is, oh, my God, they're playing Out My Back Door. Oh, my God, he dropped a lit joint in his crotch. Oh, my God, the car just smacked into the... That's the three levels of comedy in that bit. And the third level is a car actually crashing funny, in a funny manner. So the dude's car is included on this list. Okay. Christine in the movie Christine. Oh, yeah, Plymouth Fury. Incredible car. Beautiful car. That's one of the best ever, because that car was a badass. And it wouldn't die. Just kept coming back to life, even if you set it on fire. So, all right. All right, more great cars and great vehicles from movies and TV, 312-981-7200. And I do have the story behind every unbelievably cool vehicle in Mad Max Fury Road, because George Miller is insane enough to have written a backstory for every single vehicle. That movie rules. Yeah. Morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 74 the Trip Tower. Opening bell at 5 o'clock, and my favorite buddy, Steve Cochran, at 6. I'll be joining Steve for a little bit. We talk on Tuesday mornings and on Thursday mornings just to chat. About the weekend activities and all that cool stuff. We do it on Tuesday mornings right around the 6:15, and we'll do it this morning coming up a little bit later on. All right, we're talking about great vehicles in movies and TV, memorable cars and vehicles in movies and TV. 312-981-7200. We got a ton of texts coming in, and we've got a list here of 50 of the coolest cars of all time. This is actually from the Chicago Tribune. If you'd like to take a look at the full list, it's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, let's go to the phones real quick because they're all filled up here. People like vehicles. I'm your vehicle, baby. Yeah. How about that, Dan? That sounded just like you thought he was here, didn't you?
He's been here so much. I wouldn't be surprised if he had strolled in the studio.
Peter Rick was here.
Rocking some purple hair and sunglasses.
That's right. He's the man. Here's Earl on WGN. Hey, Earl.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Movie I loved was a 1970 movie starring James Taylor, Dennis Wilson, and Warren Oates called Two-Lane Blacktop.
A great, great movie.
That 55 Chevy in there that they drive, well, later on it was used in American Graffiti for Harrison Ford, but that is a great gasser.
Yep. Yep.
It's like a rat rod today would be, and then the GTO that Warren Oates has, that Orbit Orange GTO, is
yep.
just
I liked Warren Oates' car in that movie.
It's
a great car. That's a really terrific movie. If you guys have not seen Two Lane Blacktop, that is a pretty phenomenal movie. Monty Hellman directed that movie.
Yeah, movie.
Great film. All right, Earl. Thank you. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Then it was used later on. They made three versions of that car, and then one of them was painted black for American Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with another great car, the 32. Millimeter coupe was awesome.
Yeah, the 32 coupe, by the way, 312 area code says the 32 coupe in American Graffiti was the best.
Another great car was the 49 chop Merc that Sylvester Stallone had in Cobra.
Cobra. Best part of that movie was the car.
Yep.
All right, Earl, thanks.
Thanks.
Yep, that was a terrible movie. Cobra was a terrible movie, but his car was awesome. His car was fantastic in that movie. 331 area code says, what about John Voight's LeBaron? you mean John, J-O-H-N. John Voight, the dentist that went to school with Tim Watley. That's who's LeBaron George Costanza bought. But he bought it thinking that it was John Voight, the actor's car. you remember that episode, Esmeralda?
Yes, I do.
Where John Voight bites Kramer. It's one of my favorite moments in Seinfeld history is when John Voight bites Kramer's arm. It's John Voight's pencil. Do you think we could match the teeth marks from your arm to his pencil? You know that inside the Actors Studio, they had Bryan Cranston on a couple of weeks ago. As I've mentioned before, terrific, except there was not one mention of Tim Watley.
How dare they?
How?
That made him.
How dare you? How dare you, Lipton, not mention Tim Watley from Seinfeld? I'm sure he did, and they just didn't, they cut it out because, I mean, if you've ever watched Inside the Actor's Studio, you know, Lipton comes out with a 7-foot pile of blue cards in front of him, so I'm assuming at some point Tim Watley had to be on one of those cards. All right. Let's see. 814. Oh, okay. Here we go. Now I'm not insane. Well, that remains to be seen. 815 area code says, I know exactly what you mean when that car crashes. I had it rewind 20 times with my cousin because the way it happened and the look on the dude's face was priceless after the crash had happened. And no one was around in the scene except the dude on the street, and it was empty when he crashed. It made it even better. See, I'm telling you, it's the funniest car acting ever. It's the funniest a car has ever acted. Hey, by the way, Esmeralda?
Yes.
Tim Thomerson was also in Quark, which was a...
The video game?
No, what the hell is his name? The little dork who jumps around and falls off the buildings?
Was in Quark?
What was his name? It was Quint. No, Quint is Robert Shaw's character in Jaws. Yeah, there was a video game with Robert Shaw's character from Jaws. He was jumping around. And now I'm just picturing a drunk Robert Shaw jumping from boat to boat in the game, in the video game Quint. You lose when he falls into the mouth of a shark. What the hell was his name? Quisp? No, Quisp was the cereal, the breakfast cereal. Quark? It's not Quark.
That's Quark.
Is it Quark? It's not Quark. Quark was the TV show from the 70s that Tim Thomerson was in with Richard Benjamin. What's his name? Q-Bert. It's Q-Bert.
Oh, okay.
Q-Bert's the dude who jumps off of buildings and stuff.
My bad.
Okay, hey, how about this? Joe says, Esmeralda, Tim Thomerson is the villain in Cherry 2000 with Melanie Griffith. And they drove a badass 66 Mustang in that. Tim was the only villain that I can recall who wore a Hawaiian shirt. How about that? Tim Thomerson in a Hawaiian shirt. You can't pass that up.
No. Must be a sight to see.
Tim Thomerson is always a sight to see. You have to rent all of the Trancer movies. There's
going to have a Tim Thomerson.
A Tim Thomerson Film Marathon. Festival. Maybe I should do that at my next film club.
There you go.
One of my film clubs in the future, just do an entire Tim Thomerson Film Festival. I could show Near Dark. He's in Near Dark, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Esmeralda, have you seen Near Dark?
No.
Oh, man. You got to see it. You have to see it. I'm a little disappointed. I have a T-shirt on, a Near Dark T-shirt. Tim Thomerson's not on it.
We could draw him on there.
I could draw Tim Thomerson with a Hawaiian shirt. All right, here's Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. Hey. How are you doing tonight?
All right.
I had a few, but Earl took one of them, two of them. He took the 70 GTO out of two-lane blacktop.
Great.
There's also one in Slapshot, and there's also one in Dazed and Confused, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a GTO. There's a GTO. I think any movie that was made in the 70s had a GTO in it.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like those three because they were gold with black tops like mine that was stolen. So yeah. It's kind of
man, yours was stolen?
Yeah, it got stolen when I was in the Army. I had a 70 GTO convertible that was stolen when I was on active duty.
Do you know what? You told me this story before, haven't you, Rich?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
We were talking about dream cars wanting them back.
Yeah.
But
you know why? Why I remember that? Because it's such a sad story.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, it's just, I went and joined the Army, and here I am, you know, it's gone.
And it's a GTO convertible. That's horrible. Oh,
yeah, I
God.
Mean, I could have come back with all my Army training and found those guys, and it would have been like Guantanamo all over again. You know?
All right, Rich, I got to run, man.
The Mad Max Road Warrior.
Yeah.
The first one, the Mustang.
Yeah.
But in Australia, it wasn't a Mustang. It was a Falcon.
A Falcon, that's right. Yeah. And I think that the Falcon is used, and it's still used. They use that car from Mad Max through Road Warrior, Thunderdome, and it's in Fury Road.
Oh, cool. I'm probably the only guy in the world who hasn't seen Fury Road yet.
Oh, man, if you're a car guy, Rich, oh, my God, you have to see Fury Road.
I know. I've seen the trailers, and I mean, there's like 34 Fords in there. And
yeah. Oh, it's great. You're going to go nuts, right. Rich. It's on HBO, man. It's on HBO now.
All right.
Okay, buddy, take care.
Okay. Yep,
all right. Now, if you haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road and you're a car guy, oh, man, please. If you haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road and you enjoy greatest movies ever, please.
I mean, even I've seen it.
Even Esmeralda has seen it. All right, we got a break here. The news is next. There's something weird, and it don't look good. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! Yeah. Who are you gonna call? Huey Lewis to get sued. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about people's favorite vehicles from movies, and everybody loves it. What's it called? The Ecto-1, right? In Ghostbusters? Yeah. Very cool car. Esmeralda, you know that Ray Parker Jr. did get sued by Huey Lewis.
Did he win?
Huey Lewis won.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah. Because that's I Want a New Drug. Like, he basically, and this is a true story, Ray Parker Jr. came in to meet with the producers at Columbia Pictures, and they played on cassette, because, you know, cassettes were really big back then. They played I Want a New Drug, and they said, we want something that sounds pretty much like this. And then Ray Parker went, okay. He recorded Ghostbusters. It sold like 80 million copies. And then Huey Lewis went, hey, you ripped me off.
Well, I hope Ray Parker Jr. gave those execs the bill.
I don't remember how it worked, but Ray Parker Jr. has writing credit on it, so I don't think legally he had a leg to stand on there. Did you ever see this? Did you ever see the sketch on Key and Peele? It was a commercial for Ray Parker's other hits from other hit songs from movies.
No.
It's unbelievably funny. It's Jordan Peele is playing Ray Parker Jr., and it's a commercial dedicated to all the other songs that he recorded for movies. None of them were hits. And if I remember correctly, the name of the album that you could buy for this commercial, the name of the album is Does Not Include Ghostbusters. It's the name of the album. If you can see that, if it's on the YouTubes, look that up, because it is like everything that Key and Peele does. It's brilliant, genius, and hilarious. By the way, Keanu comes out April 29th. Mark the dates now, because it's going to be the greatest film ever made. As soon as people see it, they're going to go, what is Citizen Kane? I don't know, understand what that is anymore. Godfather? Who cares? Have you seen Keanu? So, all right, we got some other great cars here. Tons of texts coming in here. Let me fly through some of these and we'll get back to the phones. The van and Little Miss Sunshine. Another person voting for the van and Little Miss Sunshine. That's pretty awesome. 224 area code says, don't forget that you can see a lot of these vehicles at the Volo Auto Museum. That's absolutely true. Let's see. My favorite, Paul says, is the 64 Aston Martin DB4, as in seen in Goldfinger, who was also Inspector in Skyfall.
Those are pretty.
They are. Very pretty cars. Robert says the Gran Torino from Starsky and Hutch. And that's number 30 on the list. And by the way, according to this, Paul Michael Glaser hated that car. How do you hate the car from Starsky and Hutch? My dad had a car. He had a red Gran Torino, my dad. He used to drive around like a lunatic in it. I remember he got in trouble once. He took me and my two cousins out, and my dad was like peeling around. We lived right on Addison. We lived right on Addison. My dad's flying around on the side streets and through the alley, and my aunt and my mom got really, really mad. Of course, me and my cousins were in the car going, yay! And this is in the 70s when there's no such thing as seatbelts. Or baby seats. Oh, yeah. I used to bounce around the back of that thing like a ping pong ball. I'm like 5 years old and I'm flying around in the back. I think I split my head open once because my dad just made a left. That's all he did. He just made a left and I smashed my head against the window and was like,
We have audio of Paul Michael Glaser discussing his hatred for the Starsky and
Hutch. Oh, I got to hear this.
I hated the car.
Why did you hate the car?
Well, it was absolutely ludicrous that a detective would be carrying or driving around in what I call a striped tomato. I turned to David I've told this story many times. I turned to David when Aaron Spelling walked us out into the parking lot and showed us the car. I turned to David and said, I'm going to destroy that thing. If the last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wreck it. And I did. I tried all the time to wreck it. That car had more Bondo on it at the end of the series. You know. It was a pig. It was a pain in the ass. David hated it because it had a bench seat the first year, and every time I took a hard right, he ended up my lap. We didn't use seatbelts in those days, which was the good news. And like that.
Did you do a lot of the driving yourself, or was it?
I did. Charlie Petrini was our stunt coordinator, and Charlie taught me an awful lot of driving tricks, and so I did a lot of the driving, not all of it, but I did a lot of it, and I did a fair amount of stunts, you know. I was never good with heights. Put me on a four-story building and asked me to look down the sidewalk. I didn't really enjoy it.
That's pretty great, I gotta say. That's pretty great.
I love that it's because police wouldn't have that car.
Yeah, because, you know, because the logical problem with the plots of Starsky and Hutch, they were so thorough in their logistics.
Yeah, it's a serious television cop show, Starsky and Hutch, with Huggy Bear.
Like, that was his problem. This is not very believable. Oh, really? Really, the episode where they string out Hutch on heroin and he gets over it in 15 minutes? Okay. He kicks a heroin habit in a half an hour because, you know, Starsky fed him soup. Like, here, man, they walked him around the room and they fed him soup, but he kicked heroin in like 60 days or 60 hours. Like, they strung him out on, if I remember correctly, they strung him out on heroin for like a month. So they're blowing heroin into Hutch's veins. Starsky gets him. Keeps him at his house for like 2 days, and then he's like, yeah, I'm fine. He gets over a heroin addiction in 2 days because Starsky walked him around the room and gave him soup. That's a little bit more realistic than having a bright red car. Huggy Bear. Oh, I want to mention one of my personal favorite cars in movies. Maybe my favorite car. Well, actually, there's my two favorite cars in movies ever. Dennis Quaid drove a I want to remember. I don't remember the year. Maybe you can find it, Dan. In Inner Space, Dennis Quaid, and then when Dennis Quaid was shrunk down and shot into Martin Short's body and into his butt. Oh, that's gonna make the out of context. then Martin Short got to drive it. It was a 68 cherry red Mustang convertible. I want to say it was a 60. It was this late 60s model Mustang red convertible. And it was badass. One of the coolest cars I've ever. I love that car. But the coolest car ever, that's right up there. The Mustang in inner space is right up there. But Phantasm, one of my favorite movies of all time, one of my favorite horror movies of all time, had one of the badass cars of all time, 71 Cuda, a Plymouth Cuda. It was a Hemi Cuda. And I had Don Coscarelli, the director, on the show many times, and we've talked about the car got stolen. That car got stolen. It's one of the, oh, man. If you go back and watch Phantasm, one of the reasons why Michael Baldwin, who was the star of the movie, he's like a 13-year-old kid in this movie. One of the reasons I love that movie is so much, and it had such a seminal effect on me, was because the lead in the movie is this 13-year-old kid who gets to ride around on motorcycles and shoot shotguns and kill monsters and drive this badass 71 Cuda. You know, when you're 14 or 13, when you see those 13 when that movie came out, I was 14. You're seeing a kid who's your age do stuff like that in a horror movie. That guy was my hero. I told Michael Baldwin that, and he was like, yeah, a lot of guys your age have a real weird connection to that movie. And I'm like, yeah, man, you kidding me?
It is a pretty car.
It's a beautiful car.
So shiny.
Yeah. It's badass, man. And Michael Baldwin gets to drive that thing. I told him when I met him, I got to meet Michael Baldwin a couple of times because I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of the people from Phantasm. Rest in peace, Angus Scrimm, the great Angus Scrimm. I told him, I was like, dude, you were my hero. You were like my childhood hero. I saw this, this is the coolest kid in the world. You know, one of the reasons I went back and saw that movie over 100 times in the theater, and that's not an exaggeration, over 100 times in the theater, was because I love this kid so much. You'd never see a movie where a 14-year-old kid gets to do such badass stuff. Driving around in a Hemi Cuda and shooting shotguns and stuff. Awesome. All right. All right, everybody hang on. We're talking about great cars. That clip of Paul Michael Glaser was pretty great. And we got other great vehicles to talk about here in movies and TV.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
Yeah.
He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, then your life's Speed Racer.
Yeah, man. The Mach 5, baby, from Speed Racer. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Dan Shigrew, my great producer, with me. And we're talking about the best cars and vehicles from movies and TV shows. The Mach 5 from Speed Racer, number 13 on the list of the top 50 best cars. It's amazing to me how many people are killed in the opening credits of Speed Racer. I mean, the body count just for the opening credits, and that's like a 40-second opening credit sequence. The body count's like 20 with massive explosions and cars blowing up.
But that monkey and the little boy.
Oh, yeah.
Always in that back in the
chim
trunk.
Chim.
They always survive.
They always survive. Yeah. That was the thing. I went back, you know, when I was a kid, I was Speed Racer. I watched Speed Racer all the time. I mean, you know, if you're my age, I'm a 50-year-old guy, and 50-year-old guys watched Speed Racer constantly when they were kids. Well, I don't know if they do now, but Spritel and Chim Chim were the two idiots that were always in the back. Trixie was the girl. There was Razor X and Pops. But I went back and I watched, you know, my friends and I, years later, got a bunch of VHS tapes of it and watched it one night and were astonished at the violence and offensive stuff that was in, that was packed in every episode of Speed Racer. It was like, oh my God, I watched this show when I was like five? Really? And like I said, in the opening credits alone, the body count is higher than half of George Romero's movies. It's ridiculous. And I, of course, am the one person who liked the movie version with Emil Hirsch and Christina Ricci and John Goodman as Pops. And what's his lips from Lost?
Matthew Fox.
Matthew Fox. He plays Racer X. I used to like it when Racer X would walk up to the camera and go, "Secretly, I'm Speed's brother." Like, he would always explain it. Like, every episode he'd walk up to the camera and go, "Speed doesn't know it, but secretly, I'm his brother."
Does he know he has a brother?
Yeah, his brother was gone.
He's one of the 20 people that died.
Yeah, that's right. He comes back as Racer X. "Now, don't tell Speed." Like, he would go to the camera and break the fourth wall. "Secretly, I'm Speed's older brother."
Just one of these. "What are you doing over there, Racer X?" "Nothing."
"Nothing. Who are you talking to?" "My friend." "Well, there's no one there." "He just left. I was just having an important discussion."
"He's Racer Z."
"He's Racer Z. We were discussing transmissions." "How often should I have an oil change?" "I was talking with Tom Appel, and he was telling me how often I should have an oil change. I wasn't speaking directly into this camera, telling them that I am your older brother." "Why would I do that? Am I insane? Do I just talk to air? I'm Racer X." Then Speed goes over, "Hey, Pops, I think there's something wrong with Racer X." He stands in the corner by himself and just starts talking. "Get out of here, Speed!" Because that's all Pops ever did. He would just scream.
Huh?
I liked it when the car would get out of control and they had that low angle like below the steering wheel and Speed would go, that's what he would scream. And like sweat would pour down his face and his hands would be whipping the steering wheel would be going in a massive circle and his hands would be flipping and then meanwhile like 80 other cars are exploding, 55 people die in the stands and kids are watching it. And then after the explosion, Racer X goes, "He survived the explosion, but I will not tell him that I am secretly his older brother." Even the chimp was like, "Who are you talking to, man?" Even the chimp thought Racer X was nuts. That's another thing. I used to think Spritel and Chim Chim were really cool. And then I'd watch it again. I'd be like, man, why don't they just lock these idiots up in a room during a race? Why doesn't Pops, if Pops is such a maniac worrywart, you know, about safe racing, why does he allow these two little idiots, a monkey and a four-year-old, to run around in the pits? And they're running around in the pits. There's guys like changing tires and running around with power tools. And here's a chimpanzee and a toddler that are allowed to run around. That was the best show ever. I watched it every day, man. Every day. And I still stand by that movie. I don't care. I like the movie. I thought it was good. And I've only seen the movie once, and but I did like it. I'm trying to remember now if Matthew Fox ever walked up to the camera and went, "Secretly, I'm Speed's brother."
He did not.
He didn't? Damn it. That's why people didn't like the movie, because it was inconsistent. It strayed from the original text. Wait a minute, are you telling me that Racer X doesn't tell me specifically that he's secretly Speed's brother? Why the hell would I go see that movie then? All right, let's go to Richard on WGN. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man.
Yeah, the original Eleanor, driven by H.B. Helicki and Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds. Nice choice, Richard.
And then one of the meanest and baddest cars in the world, the Lincoln Continental in the car, starring James Borland.
See, now that's a weird... That was like exclusively designed for that movie, right, Richard?
Yep.
Yeah, because that is one of the coolest-looking cars ever, and it doesn't exist. It was just exclusively designed for them. We're getting a weird feedback thing for Richard, but thank you for that. There's this movie that came out in 1977 called The Car. It was a horror movie about this possessed car. No, there's no explanation. That's probably because there are so many terrible movies from the 70s that you could watch. Like, you could do a whole weekend of these. This one stars James Brolin, and there's a devil car. Just a big car, like a big Continental, but it was exclusively designed for this movie. And like, although glass was all tinted and you couldn't see in, but the car comes in and starts killing people, and they discover that it's like possessed by the devil. Like the car actually came from hell. It drove from hell to this town and killed a bunch of people, and they knew. Here's the thing, Esmeralda. They knew that there was an evil spirit, because it wouldn't go into the cemetery. It wouldn't drive into the cemetery because it was hallowed ground, and it was like blessed. So the car wouldn't go past the gate of the cemetery. Oh, clearly the devil's inside driving it, because he won't go past the cemetery gates. I also remember there's a scene in the movie where the car, and it had like, all it did was blow its horn. It would run people over and go, bah, 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 bah. It would blow this really crazy horn. And there was one scene, I can't remember who the female lead is. She's on the phone, and James Brolin is on the phone going, "Stay in the house, don't go out. That the car driven by Satan is driving around outside. It's not safe out there because Satan's on the road. So stay inside the house." And so she's on the phone, and she's standing in her apartment or in her house in front of a giant picture window. And as she's like, "Oh, I don't know. I think I'm fine." All of a sudden you see the headlights through the window behind her. She's standing with her back to the picture window. And all of a sudden you see the headlights, and all of a sudden you hear, bum, 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 bum. And you hear the horn. As it gets closer, it gets louder, and she goes, "Ah!" And it jumps through the window and kills her. The car, like, smashed through the window and kills her.
Then does it back up and leave?
Yeah, it does.
Of course.
Yeah.
Your and girl, Kim Richards, is in it.
That's right. Kim Richards was in that.
And Kyle Richards.
Kyle Richards, both. I think Keenan Wynn. Ronnie Cox is in that movie. But, yeah. Ridiculous. I mean, unbelievable. But my favorite part, I'll tell you my favorite part. We got a break, but I got to tell you my favorite moment from The Car. I can't believe I'm even talking about this movie 45 years later. But all right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next, and we're talking about memorable vehicles. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What is it today? Tuesday. Tuesday morning. It's not till Tuesday. We'll have to do that. Esmeralda, someone, Jay in Ohio, or I'm sorry, Dwayne in McHenry.
Yes.
Dwayne in McHenry on a text says, "You should do Monkeys Monday for Esmeralda."
Yeah, you should.
How about that? Monkeys Monday. We'll have to do that, all right?
I'm looking forward to Monday.
I bet you are. Because it comes after Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Oh, boy.
See?
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. "Secretly, I'm Speed's older brother." and I know all monkey references. Okay, so my favorite part of The Car, I just have to tell you, this is the stupidest movie. I saw it like 20 times in the theater because I thought it was awesome when I was a kid. Even when I was a kid, I knew it was stupid, but I loved it because the car was so cool. So anyway, this movie, The Car, it was driven by Satan, and it terrorized this town. And James Brolin was in it, and he played like the sheriff of the town. So the car is terrorizing people, and at one point it like stops in the middle of this road. And this is during the day. And Brolin has got his gun drawn, which doesn't matter because bullets like pling, pong, ping, they bounce right off because it's the devil's driving. So he walks up to the car, walks up to the passenger side, and he gets real close to the car, and he's about to touch the door handle, try to open the car door, and the car door suddenly opens and hits him. He goes flying like 20 feet, and then he's in the hospital for like a month with like contusions and stuff. I'm like, what the hell? The car door hit him. The car door opens and hits him. And he's got multiple contusions. He had to have 26 surgeries because the car hits him.
Yeah, but with force.
Yeah,
devil's force.
I guess when the devil opens a car door, you get hurt a little bit. I've been hit by car doors many times.
Yeah, but not the devil's car door.
It wasn't the threat. Okay, that's it. When the devil's car door opens, you get multiple contusions, and you have to spend 6 months in a hospital because a car door opened up and hit you. This is so stupid. Dan, have you ever seen The Car?
Can't say that I have.
You know, if I remember correctly, I think Svengoolie showed The Car. I think Rich showed it on his show one time. It's just, and I believe there might be Mystery Science Theater episode dedicated to The Car. James Brolin. Man, James Brolin was the cool in the 70s, man. He was the coolest James Brolin. Now he's Mr. Streisand, and his son is cooler than he is. But he's now, back in the 70s, he was in the TV movie Trapped, which I've talked about before. Dan, you remember Trapped?
Yes.
It involved Doberman, so it was made in the 70s.
Yes.
And then he was in Night of the Juggler. James Brolin was cool, man. Capricorn 1, for God's sake. The original Amityville Horror, where he's all bearded. Well, man, Brolin. Don't mess around with Brolin. He was in Skyjacked. You were born too late, Esmeralda, to enjoy James Brolin at his height.
Well, he got his son.
Yeah, you got Josh.
He pretty much looks like him.
He does. He does. James Brolin in The Car. When that car door opens, watch out, man. Just watch out. Here's Harold on WGN. Hey, Harold.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you forgot Westworld and Marcus Welby.
Oh, yeah, Westworld. Please. God, that movie was great. That was a great movie.
I can't believe it. I'm shocked.
Richard Benjamin, Yul Brynner. That movie rules.
Spoiler alert. We just gave the whole plot away.
Yes, we did. All right, what else you got?
All right. Hey, listen, man, I'm sleeping, man, and all of a sudden I wake up and I have this dream that you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you get to $1 million, and they ask this question about a video game, and you keep blurting out Quark and Quisp and stuff like that, and you call up Esmeralda, and she says Quaker, and next thing you know, you lose.
Yeah, I lost.
Sorry.
My lifeline didn't help me on that one. How did I blank on Q-Bert? How did I blank on Q-Bert? And I said Quint at one point, the character that Robert Shaw played in Jaws. Jeez. What an idiot.
That's an idea for a video game.
It is. We came up with a great idea.
Huh? It is awesome.
That's a great idea.
All right.
All right.
So here we go. I got 85, 90 of them, but I'll give you a few quick. Duke's Car from Escape from New York. I'm going to give you some that you don't haven't heard yet.
To say, okay, first of all, the Duke of New York rules. That's Isaac Hayes. The Duke's Car, and it's a giant. Was it a Fleetwood?
It's a Duke.
Is it a Fleetwood Cadillac?
It was a Cadillac.
It's a Cadillac. I don't know if it was a Fleetwood or not, but he had chandeliers on the front of the car.
On the fenders.
On top of the car. On top of the front of the car. Above the headlights.
There were like candelabras with chandelier crystals hanging from them. So as you drove it down the street, they would swing.
It's fantastic. Okay, what else?
So it's just for that reason that that's got to make
Oh, it's badass. No question about it, yeah.
Okay, Smoking the Bandit, nobody said that.
No, it's way high. You know why? Because we didn't get to the top of the list, and the Firebird the Firebird from Smoking the Bandit is in the top five, as it should be.
Yeah, Trans Am.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, Trans Am, sorry. Yeah.
Mistake it. Captain America from Bike from Easy Rider.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
And then the Jeepers Creepers truck.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's a good choice, Harold.
And the truck from Duel, also.
Yep, the truck from Duel.
It actually had a railroad tie.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It had a railroad tie for a bumper.
Yes, it did. It had a railroad tie for a bumper. You're absolutely right.
Not even a tie. It was actually the rail.
It was like the rail from, yeah. God, that was a good movie.
Yeah, they cut that off. And then, real quick, you were talking about the Mad Max Fury Road. I wanted to see some of these cars on YouTube after I saw the movie. So I looked it up, and one guy was talking about, how they made these cars. And he said, he's standing in front of the car with the two Cadillac bodies.
Yeah.
And he says, so people are wondering, why you got two Cadillac bodies? And he said, if you're in a world where cars are just like, they're just not being made anymore, and anybody who has a car is like, something special, and fuel is like super rare, people are killing each other for fuel, you got a Cadillac, you got something else. But if you got one Cadillac and you put it on top of another Cadillac, you're the king.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man.
All right.
All right, Harold. Thanks, buddy. Take care. By the way, we did play The Power of Love coming out of that break. I haven't explained why, because the DeLorean from Back to the Future. You can't make a list of classic vehicles and movies and not talk about the DeLorean in Back to the Future. How about Kit from Knight Rider?
That was a pretty car.
Pretty high on the list.
And if it could talk.
It could talk, yes.
He was witty.
Yeah, didn't he always make smart aleck remarks?
He did.
Yeah. What was his name on the show? Hasselhoff's name? David? No, his name was David in real life.
Well, it could have also been David.
Could have been, yeah. All right. 815 area code says, Nick, you big dummy, how could you forget Sanford and Son's pickup truck? Oh, yeah. That truck rules, man. I'm going to go out and sleep in the truck. He won't sleep in the house because Lamont bought coffins. That's my favorite Sanford Son episode of all time. Lamont bring home two coffins, and Fred's like, you ain't putting these in the house. Because he's superstitious. He's terrified. That's bad luck. You can't have coffins in the house. That's bad luck.
I'm with him.
Ben, the engineer, busts through the door to let us know Michael Knight was the
Michael name. Knight. That's right. It's called Knight Rider, of course.
Yeah.
Michael Knight. Yep. That's right. Thank you, Ben.
He's going to put the door back on the hinges because he blew it.
He busted through the door. as though the devil had a door that he had to open. But good thing you weren't standing near it, Dan. You'd have multiple contusions right now and be in a hospital bed next to James Brolin. So anyway, he brings home, like, Lamont's like, we could sell these things for a lot of money, Pop. And he's like, you ain't bringing these coffins in the house.
Wait a minute. Where does he just find coffins?
I can't remember what the explanation was, but he bought them off of some old lady, I think, or something.
I mean,
I don't know. But he brings two coffins home. And he's like, I ain't sleeping in the house with the coffins. And then he won't sleep in the house. And then and Lamont gets freaked out because Fred goes, I'm sleeping on the truck. And he goes outside to sleep on the truck. And then cats start howling. Weird stuff starts happening. The lights won't work in the house. So Lamont keeps going out to the truck. Hey, Pop, you all right? I'm fine. I was sleeping and I was dreaming of Lena Horne. Now leave me alone. Let me get back to Lena. So, the fuse goes out and he comes out. Pop, the lights went out. He goes, well, check the fuse box. And he goes, all right. And he comes back and he goes, hey, Pop, where are the fuses? He goes, where do you think the fuses are? In the fruit bowl? So it was filled with, Pop, you sleeping? At one point, Pop, you sleeping? No, I'm checking my eyelids for cracks. Those were some of the great lines in that one. The best moment of that episode, though, Esmeralda, belongs to Slappy White. Because Slappy White played his friend Melvin on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so Slappy White comes in. They got the coffins in the living room. The two coffins are sitting in the living room. Mm-hmm. And Fred's like, you get these coffins out of here, dummy. You know, and Lamont's like, Pop, I can get $50 a piece for them. I'll just get them out. So Melvin comes in, knock on the door. Melvin comes in, he opens up the door, and he goes, "Hi, Lamont. Hi, Fred." He sees the coffins, turns right around. "Bye, Lamont. Bye, Fred." Walks out.
I wouldn't go in there either. There's coffins in a house.
"Fred, what you doing with coffins in the house?" "That dummy brought them home and thinks he's going to get $50 a piece for them." It's my favorite episode. When I interviewed Lamont, I interviewed Damon Wilson one time. And I was like, I told him, "Hey, that's my favorite episode, is when you buy the coffins." And he goes, "Not my favorite."
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, "Okay, man, sorry."
Whoops.
So. All right. So, yeah, the Sanford & Sons pickup truck.
Yes.
That's a classic vehicle.
I didn't think it would be roomy enough for Sanford to sleep in there.
He sleeps in the back.
Oh.
In the what do you call it? The bed of the, what do you
bed.
Call it? Bed, yeah. He sleeps in the.
Oh.
In the back. He goes, "Pop, it smells like gasoline." "I don't care. It'll clear my sinuses."
Oh, Sanford.
Fred. And then eventually Lamont goes out and sleeps with him because he gets too scared.
Aww.
"I'm coming out here. If you're going to be ridiculous, I'm going to sleep out here with you because you're too scared." "I ain't afraid." So.
Aw.
Yeah.
Gold finger.
See, this is how you sing.
He's the man. The man with the Midas touch.
You ever go, "You know, I wonder how to sing." Put this on. This is how you sing. Shirley Bassey. God, I love the way she sings. I just love it. All right, Nick DiGilio here. We're wrapping up the show here, talking about vehicles and cars and stuff from great movies and great vehicles. And that is from Goldfinger, which is number one on the list of the top 50 cars, the Aston Martin from Goldfinger. All right. All right, let's see what we got here. Here's Aaron on WGN. Hey, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Nick?
Hey.
Kind of an obscure movie, one of Clint Howard's best roles. It was a Dodge concept car. Never went into production, but it was the star of The Wraith.
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Yeah, The Wraith. Oh, what a terrible movie that was. Oh, my God. So they actually, it was a car that never went into production, and the only time you can see it is in that movie?
They actually made three or four versions of it. For all the stunt work, they made versions that were essentially just like dune buggies with a shell.
Oh, okay.
That tore around and did all the stuff.
Okay.
And then for all the close-up stuff, they actually used the concept car that Dodge had made.
Got it.
For all the close-up camera work stuff. But that car was amazing.
Yeah. Looking.
I mean, totally futuristic for whatever mid-80s that was.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wraith. All right, Aaron, thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, Aaron. There's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. Hey. Good morning. First of all, love the show. Second, your Red Fox dude spot on. I'm dying. I'm sitting here dying. I'm sorry.
I've watched Sanford and Son a couple of times, Patrick. I'm kind of a fan.
I would imagine. That was awesome. I don't want to get off topic, but also you mentioned Tim Thomerson earlier. He had one of the best lines in Near Dark. He's like, "It ain't right. It ain't right. A man don't spit out bullets when you shoot him."
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, man. That's absolutely right.
Oh, the cars. Oh, my God. From the Blade trilogy, the 68 Charger.
Oh, God.
Was that a Challenger?
It's a Charger.
It's a Charger.
Oh, what a great car. That is such. I'm so glad you brought that one up, Patrick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was awesome. Oh, you are not alone in your love of Speed Racer either. I own that movie. And just because they had the mammoth car in that movie. They had the mammoth car.
Yeah, they did have the mammoth car. That's like the ultimate
enemy to Speed Racer.
It's a Speed Racer. It's the mammoth car. Absolutely.
The mammoth car.
So Patrick, you own the movie. So at no point Matthew Fox walks up to the camera and goes, "Secretly, I'm Speed."
No. Well,
he doesn't do that.
No, but see, on the cartoon, I remember the narrator going, "Unbeknownst to Steve, secretly, he is his brother Rex."
I'm almost positive that Rex says it, too. "I'm Speed's brother."
I think at one point he unmasks. I remember there was an episode where he unmasked, but Speed was blind.
Oh, that's right. Reason. That's right. He was blind. He had a car accident.
His stomach and runs away. He picks up the mask and he's going, Rat!
I totally forgot about that, but Speed Racer was rendered blind because of one of the 9 million car accidents that happened in that show. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, my God. There was another car I was going to bring up while we're on animation. The Taxi from Heavy Metal.
Oh, yeah. That was
because he had a disintegrator ray under the gas pedal.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and he used it a few times.
You did.
In that one, the Taxi Driver. That's right. Oh, man. All right. All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Esmeralda.
Yes.
Tim Thomerson was also in the back of an airplane in the movie Air America arguing over crayons.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to say he should have won an Oscar for that one.
Mel Gibson, Robert Downey Jr. masterpiece. It's a terrible movie. God. Nick says, Jack Cate, 64, Caddy DeVille in 48 hours. Oh, yeah. Now you know I'm a ragtop man. Nick Nolte. And Buttermaker's Fleetwood in Bad News Bears. Bad News Bears, man. Walter Matthau driving around in a Fleetwood Cadillac. Both of which are old caddies that were convertibles that old drunk guys drove around in. that's really not the image you're looking that Cadillac was looking for in the 70s, right? I don't think. How about Mr. Bean's car? Okay. How about the dumb and dumber dog car? Okay. Roy Scheider drove a cool police SUV on the island in Jaws. The Goblin truck from Maximum Overdrive. That's a cool, you know, have you ever seen Maximum Overdrive? No, you haven't seen it. have you seen it, Dan?
Nope.
And again, this is one of those movies, no reason. It's a terrible movie. There's a truck in it, and the front of the truck, the grill, the whole front, is a goblin, a green goblin, really cool, green, scary goblin face.
That sounds cool.
It's very, very cool. I mean, the movie sucked, but this goblin truck was cool. And at the flashback convention, they had that piece, the big goblin truck, at the convention. And I think more people took pictures with that than Tim Thomerson.
Oh, poor Tim Thomerson. Poor T.T.
You going to call him T.T. now?
Yeah. We're friends now. Yeah, I called him.
let's see. The Impala from Supernatural. Oh, yeah, that is a cool car. That's a cool car. No question about it. Let's see. Eleanor from Gone in 60 Seconds was mentioned already. Have you mentioned it before? The Pinto joke in Top Secret, Jesse says. There was a Top Secret is, in my opinion, the best of the Zucker Abrams movies. I even like it better than Airplane.
Oh.
I do. I think it's funnier than Airplane. And Airplane is one of the greatest movies ever made, but I don't know why I like Top Secret the most of their movies, but I do. And at the time when that movie was released, there were a bunch of Pintos being recalled because there was if you would get rear-ended or you rear-ended a Pinto,
right,
it would explode, or at least there'd be like an explosion in the gas tank or something. So they did a bit in the movie. If you watch Top Secret, they do a bit in the movie, which, by the way, takes place during World War II. But there's a Pinto in it, which is one of the many inexplicable things that you'll find in Top Secret, which is one of the reasons I love it so much, because it's just one of the weirdest movies ever made. And at one point, a Jeep bumps into a Pinto, and they literally, it just like, they show it like really slowly, ever slowly, getting closer and closer to the bumper, and then they actually add the sound effect, ding, like that sound effect. Boom! The entire car completely explodes, like a massive explosion. And it was like, now you watch that movie and you're like, it's not very funny. But at the time, it was a very timely, you know, joke. So if you want to see the article which explains every vehicle in Mad Max Fury Road, we'll put it up on our Facebook page. It's from Bloomberg. But it actually goes through of all of them. And I got to say that, I mean, obviously Mad Max's Interceptor, the Falcon Coupe, is the coolest because it's been in all the movies. I love Furiosa's war rig, but I got to go with the Doof Warriors Doof Wagon. That's my man. Any vehicle where you can put like 700 Marshall stacks and swing from a swing while playing guitar, shooting flames out of it, that's a pretty badass car.
Right.
So, all right. Okay, here we go. Let's talk with Steve. The opening bell is coming up.
Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
You know, I've loved your discussion this morning. I told you in the hallway that in a movie critique class way back when, we watched that movie about the car.
The car.
The car.
And when you told me that, I was like, oh, my God, where'd you go to school? But then you said it was an example of a bad movie.
Of a bad movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was good cinematography, but a bad movie.
Exactly.
And that was the example. It was
the
pretty
car,
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, if you've got travel plans today, it's going to be a little bit better. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take all week for airlines to catch up with the big blizzard out east. So there are delays all across the country today, especially if you're traveling out east to places like Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., New York, and there's some weather moving into the upper Midwest. So if you have to go up to Green Bay or Detroit, over to Minnesota, watch out for that as well. On the big show this morning, we're going to talk to the reporter who broke the story about Twitter Sunday and is continuing to follow it. A big shakeup there. What does it mean for you and me? And more importantly,
all right, great. We'll stay tuned for that. The opening bell coming up after the news in about a minute. All right, Esmeralda, now you are going to go home and watch the car?
Yeah, me and TT are going to.
You and TT, you're going to hook up with
brunch.
TT? Going to have brunch with TT.
Wear Hawaiian shirts.
Wear Hawaiian shirts.
Yes, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
It'll be
and
a whole day.
You're going to put a mask on and walk away and go, secretly, I'm TT's older sister. Don't tell him. All right, we got a break. We'll see you tomorrow, Esmeralda. Enjoy your conversation with TT. All right, we'll be right back.
Two potential MVPs, Patrick Kane and me. Hold on, I'm being told it's just Patrick Kane that is going to be a most valuable player. Patrick Kane.
Whoa. Something happened there. Oh, okay. Yeah, Steve's coming up, and he's got Patrick Kane coming on. That's what that was all about. So 8:40, Patrick Kane, make sure you tune in. I have no idea what happened there. I really don't.